not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Turn back to Matthew chapter 28 with me. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus had died on the cross. He had been buried. And then on the third day, he had risen from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and hell, paving a way for mankind to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He, because of his sacrifice, because of the gift of God that we read about in John 3:16, now we have a way of salvation. Then he says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Let's remember who the them is in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, by the way, exactly as Jesus had commanded them. So in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, he's talking directly to his disciples, the 11. And here's what he said, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When Jesus said all power was given unto him, he was talking about the power to save men from their sins. Jesus is God. You read in the scripture, you'll find that Jesus is the creator. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that was Jesus. And so Jesus had power and authority as God. So when the scripture says all power and authority here was given to Jesus, it's referencing he now had the ability, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, to save men from their sins. Amen. All power. Here's what that means. There's no soul that Jesus cannot save. All power. Ooh. Verse 19, therefore, because the power is there to save all of mankind from their sins, here's the message, go, therefore, and teach all nations. I can save any man from their sins, now you need to go and tell them. Then he said this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So in the Great Commission, Jesus taught that he had the ability to save man from their sins, and it was the responsibility of the disciples to go and declare the gospel. But each and every soul who would turn their heart to Christ then were commanded to be, and the disciples were taught to baptize them. Now, when God gave the ordinance of baptism, this is not designed by God to save man from their sins. The gospel, through the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, is how men and women are saved. Amen. And so baptism, therefore, is something that God commands Christians to do after they're saved, in obedience to him. And we understand that when somebody gets saved and then they get baptized in the water, what they're doing is they are declaring to God's people that they've received Christ. It's an outward display of an inward change. And you might remember baptism like this. This is the water, and this is a person who's been saved, and they walk into the water. And now they're standing in the water. And just the imagery of a person standing in the water is the imagery of Jesus who died on the cross. But they didn't leave him on the cross. They buried him. But what happened 3 days later, friends? He raised from the dead. And so in the act of being baptized in water, you are showing what not only Jesus did on the cross to pay for our sins, but you're also outwardly showing what Jesus did in you. He saved you. He made the old you dead and gone, and now you're raised a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's visually shown in the act of baptism. Now, when we get baptized in water, we are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, as I just showed you, but we're not just identifying with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you identify, or when you are baptized in water, you are identifying not just with Jesus and what he did on the cross, although you are doing that. You're also identifying with the Father and the Holy Ghost, which means you're identifying with everything that the scriptures teach about the Godhead and who God is. What that literally means is you are identifying with a body of doctrine when you are baptized in water. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that by design, Jesus created baptism for the church to protect the church and keep the church pure as it relates to what we believe. Amen. Now, how does it do that, Pastor? Here's how it does it. When you get baptized in water at a church, what you are declaring is not only that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're also declaring that you believe in what this church teaches about the scriptures, about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Therefore, it matters not only that you're baptized in obedience to Christ, but it matters where you're baptized. Because it matters what we believe, and it matters what we identify with. Now, why would Jesus create an ordinance that isn't designed to make us saved if Jesus is our hope unto salvation, and he created the ordinance of baptism not to make us saved, but to do something else then, to identify with Jesus Christ and declare to God's people that we've been saved, but also, watch this, to protect his church from false doctrine. How does it do that, Pastor? Because if somebody who does not believe the scripture like we believe, who perhaps wants to be a member of Western Hills Baptist Church, and obviously we want anybody who would like to be a member of Western Hills Baptist Church to be a member of Western Hills Baptist Church. Amen. But if you're not willing to identify and say declaratively that you believe the scriptures like we believe the scriptures, then you cannot be a member of Western Hills Baptist Church. Why? Because it matters what we believe. It matters the doctrines that build the church. And this is non-negotiable. I didn't create this standard. God did. Amen. So if somebody says, I will not be baptized, or I will not identify with the doctrine of Western Hills Baptist Church, then they cannot be a member of the church. Yes. So then baptism becomes a way of protecting God's church from doctrine that doesn't match what God's word teaches about what is true. Watch this, I'll say it one more time. Baptism is designed by God to protect the church from letting false doctrine get in. Maybe we could say it this way. It protects the church from without. It keeps false doctrine away. If you operate baptism according to how Jesus taught, it protects the church from false doctrine. That's what it's designed to do. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So what about the Lord's table? I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what Paul said here. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now that was Matthew chapter 26 that we began our service with. That's what Paul here is talking about. When Jesus took bread. Look what he said next in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so tonight, consider this with me. When we take the element of the bread and you hold it in your hand, and just as the scripture teaches and as Jesus demonstrated, as Jesus himself gave the example, he prayed and they partook. The description was, this is to represent the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you observe this element tonight, you need to consider that. This is very serious. We need to remember his broken body when we observe this element of the bread. We need to consider, as we sang in each song tonight, that he went to the cross to die for our sins and his body was broken for our sins. Then he said this in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so just as the bread would represent the broken body of Christ, the unfermented grape juice would represent his pure, precious, sinless blood that was shed for our sins. And we need to consider that when we observe the Lord's table tonight. You need to consider that. I love how baptism pictures what Jesus did on the cross. And I love how the elements of the Lord's table here represent what Jesus did on the cross when he died to pay for our sins. Amen. I love how Jesus designed that baptism would protect his church from false doctrine being in the church, which was a big deal. And by the way, many of the epistles were written to deal with false doctrine in the church. So then what happens as it relates to the Lord's table then? What would God have designed that the Lord's table would do for his church? Look at verse 26. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord," say that next word with me, "unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So, Pastor, you're telling me I could do this, I could observe the Lord's table tonight, and I could do this unworthily? That's what Paul just said. So that means we need to take this seriously tonight. We need to consider the condition of our heart tonight before we observe the elements of the Lord's table. Look what Paul said next. Verse number 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Look what Paul said in verse 30. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And he's not saying they're in the back room taking a nap. There's been suffering and hurt because there were those who in the process of preparing for the Lord's table and observing the elements, they did not consider the seriousness of this. And note this, verse 28, Paul said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." If you're a member of Western Hills Baptist Church, and you would admit tonight that your heart isn't where it needs to be. And so you might consider, well, the right thing to do is to not to observe. But you won't find that in the scripture. Here's what you'll find. Examine yourself. That's what